Is ready for the Word of God?
Yeah.
Awesome. We're in a series called Why. We're asking big questions, aren't we? And today we're going to ask one of the biggest questions that I as a pastor get asked. Whenever I meet somebody who doesn't believe in God and I talk to them about existence of God, and whenever I meet with somebody who's kind of on a fence about God and don't know, they always ask me this question: where did evil come from, and why is there so much evil if God is a good God? Has anybody asked you that question before? Well, today we're going to try to solve the problem of evil. Are you guys ready for that? Awesome. How could good God allow so much evil in the world? I know you've been asked that before, and you were stumbled upon that question. For example, how can good God allow two boys, high schoolers, rape another high schooler, 14-year-old girl, on the East Coast? That just happened this week. In a school bathroom. That's evil. In 2004, there was a tsunami that hit the coast of Indonesia. And 228,000 people perished. How can God allow? How can He be a good God and allow that to happen in our world? If God is a good God, why would He allow terrorists to fly their planes into the buildings, killing so many people? Why is there terrorism? Why does God allow that if He's so good? If God is so good, then why doesn't He save children who die from diseases in countries where they don't even know God? What happens to them? How can He allow that to happen? If God is a good God, how can He allow a building in Sioux Falls, downtown Sioux Falls, to collapse and kill a guy who was so young, who just spent 4 years or so in the military saving and protecting us? And an innocent girl who was sitting in her bed almost got killed. How can all these bad things happen if you say there is a good God? So that's the questions we're going to answer today. Now, if you ask any theologian, he will say that the problem of evil in Christianity is our Achilles heel. It's the weakness that we don't really have all the answers for, because Bible is silent on where did evil come from. But today I think we're going to crack the code of evil, at least try to. I want us to open our Bibles to Genesis chapter 3, verses 1 through 5, and see where did evil come from. It says this: the serpent was the shrewdest of all the wild animals the Lord God had made. One day he asked the woman, "Did God really say you must not eat the fruit from any of the trees in the garden?" Now, I see a lot of this in politics. They put words in other people's mouth, which is evil. That's what Satan does. But he says, did God really say you must not eat of the tree from any tree? Notice that, from any tree. What are we supposed to eat then if we can't eat from any tree in a garden? Let's keep going. And Eve says, of course we may eat fruit from the trees in the garden, the woman replied. It's only the fruit from the tree in the middle of the garden that we are not allowed to eat. God said you must not eat it or even touch it. Now she says part of the truth. God says you may not eat it, but He didn't say don't touch it. Adding to the Word of God. Remember, the Word of God is information. Perfect information. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. So God is perfect information. That's why when you add something to it, God will not allow it, first of all, and it can never be true. So you must not even eat or even touch it. If you do, you will die. You won't die, the serpent replied to the woman. God knows that your eyes will be opened as soon as you eat it, and you will be like God, knowing both, say it, good and evil. Where did evil come from? I would like to present to you Genesis 3:5. You will know good. They already knew good. Because whatever God created, he said it was good and very good. I would like to present to you that Eve did not even know what evil was. It was just curiosity. It was just, yeah, I want to know what evil is. I don't know what it is. I want to know what it is. And so I'm going to eat of this fruit. And then we know what happened. Their eyes were opened and they found out something was missing. What? Clothing. So what happens when we choose to disobey God? Something is taken from us. In their case, it was their clothing. I believe Adam and Eve was covered with light, with clothing of light, like God is. He robes himself in light. So what does God wear? Light. I think Adam and Eve had that glory of light upon them, and it covered their nakedness. They couldn't see it. But when they disobeyed God, notice something was deducted from them. A negative happened. Note that. Remember that, because it will help you understand this message. Okay? So today we're asking, what is evil? Let's start there. Before we can answer all these big questions, let's describe what is evil. Saint Augustine identified evil as not as a thing or thing in itself, but he said it's a parasite to good. So what Augustine says, there is no thing called evil. It's just parasite to good. Something that is lacking in itself. For example, if you have a hole in your pants. How many of you have holes in your pants? Hole is not something, but rather something that is lacking. The hole is not something. It's something that's lacking. Augustine considered evil is something that is missing rather than a substance or a thing. When Adam and Eve ate that apple, what happened? Something was missing. We know something was missing. Their clothing was missing. This solves some important criticism of God and Christianity. If evil is not an actual thing, then God cannot be an author of evil. God is the author of good, but we human beings or angelic beings, we make moral choices resulting in evil. Be careful and remember that. Now, there's evil could be divided into two categories. It could be divided into moral evil or natural evil. What is moral evil? Most of the pain and suffering in the world is caused because of moral evil. It's when one person chooses to sin against another. For example, if a person chooses to cheat on his spouse or her spouse, what happens? It causes pain to himself. It causes pain to the spouse. It causes pain to children. When a father chooses to use alcohol and drugs and beat his wife, what is it creating? It's creating evil in the world. We call it moral evil. When you choose to drink and drive, that's called, help me out, moral evil. When one day, many years ago, when I was working in a tree service business, we would put chainsaws
that we cut trees with in the boxes underneath our trucks, toolboxes. One day I came into work, ready to work, and I come to my truck, all the toolboxes are open, and everything is gone. At that moment, I was so angry, and I said, I hate thieves. So that day, I didn't really mind until evil was done to me. And I said those words, that's evil. Stealing is evil. I can't even go to work. Thank God we found them later in the pawn shop. But still, that was evil. But that's called moral evil. Now God gives us 10 commandments. Why? So He can remove as much of moral evil as possible. He says, do not steal. Do not commit adultery. Honor your father and mother. He says, do not envy your neighbor's house, its donkey, its sheep, its his wife. Don't envy his house, his garden. Don't envy. Why does God do that? It's not to limit us like we thought with our carnal minds, but it's to remove as much of moral evil from society. God wants to remove pain and suffering. And He says, if you obey these commandments, it will take away pain and suffering. There's so much pain and suffering. We don't need any more. Amen? So that's called moral evil. Now there's natural evil. What is natural evil? Well, natural evil, when an earthquake happens and kills 1,000 people in Japan or whatever. When an earthquake creates tsunami and kills 228,000 Indonesians, we call it natural evil. That's nature is not evil, but it caused something and it caused a lot of pain and suffering, and we call it evil. We call it evil. Mudslides, evil. We call different tornadoes and things so evil. But that's a natural evil. Now, where did evil come from? We already said evil is no thing. It's an absence of something. Okay, where did evil come from? I want to tell you that evil didn't come from Adam and Eve. You can see that before Adam and Eve sinned, it was already in existence in the universe. True? Notice Eve didn't come up with eating of the tree. There was another foreign entity that came and tricked her into eating from the tree. It didn't come from her. So let's talk about that. Where did evil came from then? And here's my explanation. Where did evil come from? Studying the Bible, I understand, and probably we can all agree that evil came from heaven. What? Would you say, Pastor? Evil came from heaven. Bible says so. There was this being and perfect, beautiful, wise angel, and he went bad. Bible says evil was found in him, and we're going to read that. But you cannot study the Bible and say evil came from earth. No, it came from heaven. Now you're saying, oh, that's creating a whole bunch of, that's opening a can of worms, Pastor. How can a perfect heaven, perfect God, where did that evil come from? We're going to try to solve that problem. Amen? Let's read Ezekiel 28, 12 through 16. Let's read the second half of 12. You were the model of perfection. Who is this talking about? Lucifer, the best looking, the highest order of angel in heaven. You were the model of perfection, full of wisdom, meaning there was no wisdom lacking. Everything Lucifer did, he didn't make mistakes because he was full of wisdom. To be full of wisdom, you had to be full of knowledge too, because wisdom without knowledge is... Right? So watch this. You were full of wisdom and exquisite in beauty. So perfect, perfect in wisdom and knowledge. Not in knowledge, maybe God knows more than him, but he had enough knowledge. And then exquisite in beauty. the most beautiful being to the point where he wanted to be greater than God because he got proud, Bible says. Let's keep reading. You were in Eden, the garden of God. Your clothing was adorned with every precious stone, red carnelian, pale green peridot, white moonstone, blue green beryl, onyx, green jasper, blue lapis, turquoise, and emerald, all beautifully crafted for you and set in the finest gold. His clothing was made of diamonds, set in gold. He wasn't just perfect, his clothing was the most beautiful. So imagine when he walked in the presence of God, and God is light, right? What would happen? Sparkle. He would blind you with his beauty. Wow, think about that. Okay? They were given to you on the day you were created. So, there's no evil. People say evil came with Satan. Then Satan must be equal to God. Yin and yang, right? No, Satan is not equal to God because Lucifer was, say it, created. And created thing cannot be greater than the creator of a thing. Let me give you an example, can I? Let's say there was a tennis ball, uncreated, eternal tennis ball. Nobody created this tennis ball. It was always there. It was self-sufficient. And then this tennis ball decided to create another tennis ball. Which tennis ball would be greater? The eternal one, the first one, because the second one was finite, the first one was infinite. The first one was self-sufficient, and it chose to create out of self. The second one, so the second one could never be what the first one is, because the second one is created. Is this too much? That's who God is. There was nothing before God. So God was always self-sufficient, full of love, full of communion in itself. He was good enough by himself. And then he chose to create something beautiful, like Satan. And Satan decided in his heart that I could be like God. I can be like God. But the created thing could never be equal to the eternal, existent, eternal, infinite God. Just think about it a little bit. Am I losing some of you? Who am I losing here? Okay. Let's keep going. I ordained you and anointed you as a mighty angelic guardian. Who else did God anoint in the Bible? God anointed Jesus. So notice, Jesus and Lucifer now is sharing something in common, have something in common. God anointed Jesus and he went and did good. Lucifer was anointed as a mighty angelic guardian, meaning he was set apart from other angels. That's what anointed means, set apart from other angels. And watch this, you had access to holy mountain of God. Let's deduce from it, meaning not every angel has access to the holy mountain of God. But Lucifer did. That means another thing. There's heaven and there's mountains in heaven. And on one of the mountains, there's God. And access to that mountain is not allowed for everybody. Right? Can I say that from that? Because Lucifer was allowed on this mountain of God. And walked among the stones of fire. What is stones of fire? What's so important about walking among the stones of fire? I believe that stones of fire where God creates new angelic and new beings. Notice God is continued creative God, right? He didn't stop creating. Like creative people, they don't just one day stop creating. God continues to create, and he allowed Lucifer on his mountain, where only few angels are allowed, or maybe just one. And he allowed Lucifer to walk among the stones of fire, where I believe creation happened. New angels were created. In Hebrews and also in Psalms, it talks about how God creates angels with fire, something in that. I can't exactly know, but God creates angels. That's probably where Lucifer was created. It's where birth of angels among those stones of fire. And God either allowed Lucifer to, well, we know he allowed him to be there to observe it, or he might have allowed him to help him create. Because God likes to share, right? God shares. So far, so good. Let's keep going. Number 15. You were blameless in all you did. From the day you were created, again, created, until the day evil was found in you. Let's stop there. Let's talk about God. How is it possible that evil was found in perfect heaven? That begs some questions of God. Who is God? Is God responsible for this evil? Because if he's infinite and everything came from him, did evil come from him? If God created evil, or maybe if he was the source of evil, then we got problems. Is God then good and evil? Yin and yang. Who is God? Let me keep on pushing. If God created evil, then God would be both good and evil, wouldn't he? If God created evil, would God be both good and evil? If God is both good and evil, then how can good win at the end? Is God schizophrenic, or what do you call it? Schizophrenic? I read it, but if God is both good and evil, then how could good win at the end? Because Bible promises that good wins at the end. We got a problem. See, a lot of in Asian religions, there's God is both good and evil. Even in Star Wars, how many of you watch Star Wars? The Force, there's a dark side of the Force. So Force is good and has a dark side. Is God like that? If God is himself evil, at least half, then how could he triumph over evil? How can good triumph over evil if God is both? Is that too deep? Is that good? Okay. If God is evil himself, then there could be no possibility for salvation. For how could God save us from evil that is in his nature? So God cannot be, reading the Bible, good and evil. What does Bible say about God? 1 Corinthians 14:33, it says, God is not the author of confusion. 1 John 1:5 said, God is light. And in him there's no darkness at all. Meaning there's no evil in God at all. James 1:3 says, God cannot be tempted with evil, neither can he tempt any man with evil. 1 John 2:16 says, all that is in the world is lust of the eyes, lust of the flesh, and pride of life, and it's not of the Father. One more, Psalm, two more. 5:4, it says, you are not a God who has pleasure in wickedness. Neither will evil dwell in your presence. Let me read that again. You are not a God who has pleasure in wickedness. Neither will evil dwell in your presence. But evil did come from heaven. We can be sure of that. It started there. Evil was found in the most beautiful, decorated angel of all, named Lucifer. Now, one more. Isaiah 6, When angels look at God, they say, holy, holy, holy. They cry. They yell, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. So there's no evil in God. Here's proof, last proof, and the easiest proof that there's no evil in God. The proof is Jesus. Now, Bible says that Jesus is the visible image of the invisible God. Show me in Jesus any evil. Show me. Show me wickedness. Show me sin. Bible says he who knew no sin became sin for us, but there was, he knew no sin. Are you still with me? There is no sin, no darkness, no evil, no harm, no hate in Jesus. And Jesus, the visible form of invisible God. He's full of humility. He's a servant. He's full of love and compassion, willing to give his life up for his friends. And Jesus is the visible image of the invisible God. You want to know what God looks like? Jesus. Do you see any evil in Jesus? No. So here's proof. God cannot be both good and evil. Evil, as we said in the beginning, is an absence, is a hole in your jacket. Let me explain more. If God didn't create evil, then how did evil begin in heaven, right? How? Because in Ezekiel 18, let's say verse 15. Ezekiel 18, 15. You were blameless in all you did from the day you were created until the day evil. So he was perfect, and then one day there was evil found in him. How can that be possible? Where did it come from? Is it a force that penetrated heaven? Is it energy that penetrated into heaven? But if it did, where did it come from? If there was nothing but God in the beginning and he's perfect, is there another God? Is there two gods rivaling with one another? Where did it come from? And we know that God is good and he's infinite and he was always there and he's good. So where did evil come from? How did it get there? And here is my explanation. Last night we were driving from Minneapolis, and for 3 hours, Tanya and I debated on evil. And I think we found a solution for evil. Okay? I think we solved the problem of evil. Arrogant of me to say. I know. And I'm sure it's in your life groups, you can find holes in my theory. But here's my theory on where did evil come from. Satan is perfect. Right? Lucifer. Later we call him Satan. Let's not call him Satan right now. Let's call him Lucifer. He's perfect. He's full of wisdom. He has great intellect. Correct? He's very smart. He has a lot of knowledge. He does, right? And he has free will. So one day, hypothetically, God says, Lucifer, you are my servant, right? Because even people are servants. Lucifer, you're my servant. Would you do this, please? Go there and serve that lower angel. There's no evil in Lucifer yet, right? So watch what he does. He says, okay, love to. But because he has free will, he has ability to say, no. See this? Because he has a free will, he says ability to say no. So maybe for 1,000 years, Lucifer said, okay, God, I'll do it. Okay, I'll do it. But then he thought to himself, what if I say no? Is that an evil thought? No, it's free will thought. We have a daughter who's 4 years old. And whenever she doesn't close right in the winter, she gets bronchitis, meaning her breathing tubes get inflamed and she can't breathe. And so I say to my little daughter when we're leaving home, I say, where is your hat? Where is your coat? And she said, Dad, come on. I don't need it. I said, you need to put your jacket on, your hat on. No. And it's so cute because she is not doing it out of her evil. Right? She says, by saying no to me, she's saying, I have free will. And it's okay for me to choose no and say no. You see where are we going with this? And that's where evil is born. That's the point where evil is initiated. How? I'll explain it to you. So Lucifer says to God, I have a right to say no, right? Okay, I'll say no. But God is perfect, and everything he says is perfect. And anything you do apart from what he says is absence. That's what happened with Eve, right? There was no evil in the heart of Eve. There was just choice. There was just free will. Think about it with me. We have a right. We shouldn't. God says don't. But I have free will, right? When am I going to exercise that free will? Why not now? So, Pastor Van, when we were doing this, I was preaching to them before the first service in my meeting. He said it was innocent evil. He called it, and I think it's good, innocent evil. Eve didn't have evil in her heart. She just had free will. And when she made free will choice, what happened? Something was activated. You watched movies when they say, don't push that button. Usually in cartoons, don't push that button. And the person goes, ugh! You'll start something you can't control. You'll release a dragon. You'll release a monster. But boom, and then you get to live with it. I would like to say that same thing happened in heaven. When Lucifer chose to say, no, I don't want to do that. Something was activated. Something else was born. What we now call evil. Now, it didn't manifest probably for many years. How do I know that? Because Lucifer was able to probably say no to God's will many times. And then he was able to deceive one third of the angels of heaven. Meaning God is patient. And although God knew what was happening, God didn't kick him out. It one choice led to another and to another and to another. Let me give you another example. A father says to a son, son, here's the car, but don't drive 100 miles per hour. But the son says, Dad, really? You're telling me what to do? You know kids do that. Really, Dad? I know that. But I have free will, so let me drive 100 miles per hour. So he goes and drives 100 miles an hour. Nothing happens. So now he kind of doubts his father. Then he drives again. Nothing happens. Maybe he drives 99 times. And then the 100th time he was driving by school. And he hit a child. And the child died. And now there's a lot of words of evil being thrown around. How can he be so evil? Why didn't his parents teach him that driving so fast is going to cause consequences, or drinking and driving is the same thing, right? Now, when was evil initiated? When the young son hit a child by school going 100 miles an hour, or when he chose to disobey his father? He chose to disobey his father. Maybe he drove for a year not hitting anybody. The wages of sin is disobedience to God, is death. It always is death. So you want to know where evil come from? It came from heaven. Did God create it? No. When Satan chose to use his free will, and God is perfect, so all his commands are perfect. And when Lucifer, chose to disobey God's commands, something was born in him. Look at this. From the day you were created until evil was. I think we solved the problem of evil. Let's go home. Praise God. No, I'm just kidding. I'm sure theologians. But does that make sense? God didn't create evil. It's absence of God. There's something that was lost when Lucifer started to disobey God. Listen to this. To disobey God was to initiate evil. And think about it in your own life. When you disobey God's laws, what happened? Might not happen right away, but what did you initiate in your life?
When Eve disobeyed God, what did she start? I think we're onto something. I think we're onto something. Evil is not a presence of something. Evil is an absence of righteousness. You can't create evil, because evil doesn't exist as a creative thing. It does not exist as a creative reality. Evil is a negative. It's a hole in your jacket. Evil is the absence of perfection. Evil is absence of holiness. Evil is absence of goodness. Evil is absence of righteousness. Evil became a reality when creatures of God chose to disobey God. That's why you cannot say that God is the author of evil. God is not initiator of evil. Our choices, our free will is. There was no evil before Lucifer chose to disobey God. Why disobeying God creates evil? Because if God is a perfect being, everything He says to you is perfect. And whatever you do outside of that is less of, is a negative. You create a negative. Does that make sense? I mean, look at your life. If you don't agree with me how evil came into existence, you know it to be true that that's how it works in our life. Thank you. Amen. What is darkness? The absence of light. What is evil? The absence of God. The absence. You lose something. You lose something. Let me put it this way. Evil is not a created thing. It's not a substance. It's not an entity. It's not a being. It's not a force. It's not a floating spirit like New Age says. It's a floating spirit. Evil is a lack of moral perfection. It's something missing. Evil, God didn't create evil because God created everything perfect. But when we choose to disobey God, even if it was unintentional. I don't think Satan intentionally meant to disobey God. It would mean that he had evil already in him. We would still have the circular problem. Where did it come from? So I think he just said, do I have free choice? Okay. No, I'm not going to listen to God today. No, I don't hate him. Right? Because there's no evil in Satan yet. I don't think God is bad. I don't think so. I have free will and I choose not to do it. No evil intended. And then when he did that, something started. And then it grew, and it grew to the point. It grew to the point of, I want to be like God. I want to be like God. He says, I will rise up to the mountain of God. I will sit on the throne and I will be like God. But a created tennis ball can never be equal to the forever existent tennis ball. A created, doesn't matter how good this creature is and beautiful and full of wisdom, it can never be equal to the eternal, always there, infinite God, self-sufficient. He didn't need us. He's full of himself. He's full in himself. God the Father, God the Son, they have perfect communion. They didn't need us. Why he did it? Because of love. Why he created this world? Because of love. Because when you're so full of love, you want to share it. You want to give. Love gives. Love, okay? So, evil came into existence when God created, when God's creatures fell short of the standards and morals of God. The best way I can explain it is this. If there's a perfect computer code or program, software, right? And the software is made out of letters, numbers, 1 and 0. And then you just decide to add one number to it or subtract one number from that code. What happens to the code? It's corrupted. And then it starts deteriorating. Then everything is not working as it should. You code people know this. I'm not a code guy, but I could, right? So that's what happened when Satan chose to walk away from perfect, and he didn't do it on purpose. My child, my little Hadassah, doesn't do it on purpose. She says, "No, Dad, I don't want to." Hadassah, could you do this? "Nope, I don't want to. I don't want to, Dad." And she does it out of pure heart. But when she disobeys, she gets sick and she ends up in a hospital. And then, God forbid, death happens. Then we start saying, "God," or people say, "Why is there so much evil?" It starts with disobedience. You guys ready for a little bit more? Can I do one more point? So let's lighten it up a little bit. Why does a good God does not stop evil? Why can't a good God stop evil? Well, let's consider it for a little bit. Reason one, God could change everybody's mind. God could change your personality, and God could change your choice or your decision so that you cannot sin. This would also mean that you don't have a free will. This would also mean that you are now a programmable robot. How many of you want to be robots? You can't. Then you can't experience love. You can't really. You're a robot. You're impersonal. And God wanted to create something personal. So that throws it out of the window. Number two, God could judge and remove those who choose to commit evil. We can say that, right? Why can God remove the rapist? The 17 and 18-year-old rapist. Well, if you follow that logic, the problem with this possibility is by the time God would be done removing evil, there would be no one left in this world. What does the Bible say? All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. So if God was to remove evil, and if God was to judge people who are evil, we all be gone. Because we all have some evil in us. Okay? So number three, God could supernaturally intervene, and 100% of the time. For example, God could stop a drunk driver 100% of the time. Now, I still believe God does stop drunk drivers, but not 100% of the time. God could stop a drunk driver from causing an automobile accident. God could stop a lazy construction worker, if you're in construction, I love you, from building a bad house, causing a lot of pain to the homeowners. He could stop that. He could stop a father who is addicted to drugs and alcohol from doing harm to his wife, children, and his family. He could stop a gunman from robbing a convenience store. He could stop a high school bully from tormenting a brainiac in his school. God could stop a thief from shoplifting. God could stop a terrorist from flying an airplane into the building. He could do that. That solution sounds good. Why not? And I believe in a lot of cases, God does stop. I think if God wasn't involved, we would be all gone. Because the devil, Satan, would destroy us because he's pure evil. He cannot help himself. Okay? Now, this solution sounds attractive, but it would lose its attractiveness as soon as God began to intervene on something you wanted to do. Watch this. Should God stop you from having sexual affair? Should God stop you from watching pornography? What if you want to lie? Should God stop you then too? Should God stop a thief? Should God stop you from cheating on your taxes? Should God stop murder? Yes, Pastor. Should God stop hate then? And jealousy and envy? Should God stop that? Should God stop the acts of terror? Well, yeah. Should God stop the indoctrination of terrorists?
You see, when do you want God to stop you? If I know me, and you're like me, you say, God, get out of my life. I can make my own decisions. I can make my own choices, right? That's how human beings are. But when we make our choices apart from what God says, they can never be perfect. They take away. They take away. All these evils begin when we choose to live independent of God. And so Satan in Genesis 3 says, you will be like God. Why do you want to obey God if you could be like God? The problem is, you are created. You are finite. God is infinite. God is full of wisdom and full of knowledge. God does not lack. There's nothing in this world that God does not know. There is nothing in this universe that God does not know. So when He says to you, do this, it's perfect will. And when you say, well, that's an option, God, but I can also do this. This is never perfect. Oh, it could be good enough, but it could never be perfect. And that's where evil is created, is that at a point. When we choose to disobey God, all these evils happen because we think we know better. All these evils in the world, moral evils, happen because we secretly don't want God to control our lives. Here's the problem. I'm faced with hundreds of choices in my daily life, right? So are you. You're faced with multiple decisions in this world. I like to illustrate it like this. Imagine there's a game of cups. You put the cup upside down and put a ball inside, and somebody with quick hands moves that ball, and you have to choose. That's one out of three. You could get it wrong, right? Or even more, actually, if you don't get it right. But let's say you have to choose. That was your life and death. Meaning, if you don't choose a ball, you die. How many of you would take that risk? That's bad chances. But we're not faced in life with three decisions. We're faced with 1,000 cups. And throughout our lifetime, maybe 100,000 cups, 100,000 decisions. Every day we make a decision. When we stop on a stop sign, we make a decision. Should I just drive through? Should I go on red or yellow? Yellow, it was yellow. or should I drive through? Those are decisions. So imagine 1,000 decisions and there's only one ball. Satan says, you can be like God and choose for yourself. Why do you need God? What's the problem with that thinking? Yes, I can choose for myself. But the chances are not good that I'm going to choose right. So why do I need God in my life? Because God knows exactly where the ball is. So that's why God says, be led by the Spirit, because those who are led by the Spirit, truly sons of God. God says, I point them in the directions. The steps of a righteous man are ordered by the Lord. So when you say, no, God, I don't need you, I can choose. One out of 1,000, really? You really will take those chances? I mean, you have to be a crazy gambler to think you have to be arrogant to think that I can choose the right ball. God says, that's why you need me. Let me lead you. Let me guide you. Let me use you. Let me design your life. Let me speak into your life. You see what I mean? And when we say, no, God, I love you, and I mean no disrespect, but I have a free will, right? Yeah. Okay, well, I'm going to do this. And he goes, should have had a V8. Should have had God. Should have obeyed my word. That's what God is saying, right? And then you try your own way, and you're like, I think you were right. And as human beings, at least we have a second chance, third chance, 100th chance to come to God. Lucifer didn't.
Angels didn't. And here's why I believe fallen angels cannot be redeemed. It's because humans, we were deceived. Angels, it came from their free will choice. And God designed this universe, cause and effect, right? You shall reap what you sow. Or in the worldly term, karma is a bee. Same thing, different language, same thing. You shall reap whatever you sow. God designed the universe. There is a better way, but if you choose, you're going to have to pay the consequences. And evil is the consequences for a wrong choice. That's it. In Deuteronomy 5:29, God says this. Deuteronomy, write this verse down. Deuteronomy 5:29. Are we able to pull it out? Yeah. God says, oh, that they would always have hearts like this, that they might fear me and obey me, all my commandments. If they did, they and their descendants would prosper forever. Oh, man, it brings goosebumps. It brings goosebumps to me because God says, if only you would listen. See, the world lied to us, told us that God is intrusive. He doesn't give you privacy. He doesn't want you to have sex all you want. He wants to be involved in your sex life. He doesn't. When you break His laws, they don't break, you break. God is, nothing is taken from God when you choose to disobey Him. It's taken from you. You lose your clothes and you become naked. And nakedness is not just physical condition. In the book of Revelation, it talks about you are naked spiritually. You lose the glory of God. You lose the brightness of God. And that's why you come and you're like full of darkness. Let me read it again. Oh, that they would always have hearts like this, that they might fear me and obey all my commandments. If they did, they and their descendants would prosper forever. Now, it's impossible to obey all His commandments. You understand that, right? I don't want to put on you something that I myself cannot do. And that's why Jesus came. When we are faithless, He remains faithful. He took our sin on our behalf. He fulfilled the law for us. So in Him, we can be the righteousness of God. We can stand before God and say, I'm accepted. I am loved, right? And I'm redeemed. I am redeemed. Think of a pawn shop. You take something into the pawn shop. You get your money. And in order to get the thing back, you have to redeem it. That's what Jesus did. We sold ourselves into a pawn shop, couldn't pay back. Jesus came in and He redeemed us from sin and death. And what He promises you today, He says, if you trust me, if you believe in me, I will come into your life and help you obey my commandments. You cannot do it in your own strength because you were born into sin.